National Day of Prayer, and I'm glad you reminded me of that to announce this today, is this coming Thursday. We live in a nation that is torn, and it's hurt, and it's bleeding, not only because of the racial issues that still exist to this very day, but because of all of the issues that divide people and cause them. The divided families are just, it's pandemic. It's not epidemic anymore. It's pandemic. And it's not just the world out there. It's the Christian church and the Christian homes and Christian families being torn apart. And the divorce rate among preachers is rising today. The alcoholism rate among ministers is on the rise because of pressures and not staying close enough to God, just being professional preachers and not true followers of Jesus Christ. There's a vast difference in just reading from the Bible and knowing Christ and staying close to Him. Can you say amen? We live in a divided nation today on so many different things, politically, socially, culturally, spiritually in the church. And we need a cohesiveness. We need a come togetherness. Amen. And only the Holy Spirit can do that as we respond to Him. But if He has His way today, we will see ourselves as one body. One body. One. If you don't see yourself that way, you don't see the church. You see a building. You see an organization. You do not see what it truly is supposed to be representative of. Now you are the body of Christ and His members in particular. Can you say amen? And the hand never says to the foot, I have no need of thee. But we recognize, as my wife said, as I have said many times, our dependence on the Lord, but our interdependence upon one another. He sent them two by two. He didn't just send loose cannons out there to do this work without being connected. That's why the Bible said, if any two of you on earth, come on, we've got to get it together. If one of you can chase 1,000, what happens when it's double? Two of you can chase 2,000? No. One of you shall chase 1,000, two of you shall put 10,000 to fly. Isn't that incredible? That togetherness, that unity, well, wonder the devil fights it tooth and toenail. Amen. One can chase 1,000, two in unity. So if two of you on earth, Jesus taught, agree, come into harmony together, not just agree on the need, but come into harmony with one another. That word agree means harmony, harmony, two in harmony. Hallelujah. If any two of you on earth shall agree, as touching then in that spirit of agreement, anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. If you're not in agreement with your wife, your husband, the Bible said your prayers, you can build your faith all you want, you can read the Bible all you want, you can get anointed all you want, you can talk in tongues all you want. It said your prayers shall be hindered. So we need to get it right. We need to get it right. We need to get it right. Husbands, love your wife. How much? As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And wives, respect and honor your husbands and love them back. Amen. The devil would drive a wedge between my wife and I. Our prayers are going to be hindered. I can't handle that. Amen. Not just because I'm praying for people that need prayers answered, but because I need prayers answered. Can you say amen? So I want to make sure we get this right. We've made this only a faith issue, and it's a family issue. And not just our immediate family, but the family of God. Two can't walk together except they agree. And when the miracles were happening at Solomon's porch, they were of one mind. They were with one accord, having the same spirit, same judgment, speaking the same thing. There was agreement there. Can you say amen? And if any two of you on earth agree as touching anything they, those in that kind of agreement, shall ask, it will be given them of my Father which is in heaven. For where For where two or more of you are gathered in my name in agreement, there am I in the midst of them. What is he there for? To give us a liver shiver? No, to answer our prayers. Amen. Can you say amen? National Day of Prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That means personal. Before we believe in God for repentance in the world, we repent in the church. We turn from our wicked way. You say, Brother Bumble, see, my way without consulting God, my way without listening to God, my way is a wicked way when I'm independent from Him and I work independent from Him. But if I turn from my wicked way, He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. You say, Brother Venable, but look how sinful it is. I'm glad someone brought that up. Because the Bible said where sin doth abound, His grace, and the word that's used is hyper or super. His grace does much more hyper abound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it's not that the world can't be touched and changed. I meet fatalists all the time. I meet Christians that don't have a vision. Their only vision is God slay the world, chastise the world, and take care of me. Can you say amen? Well, the problem is he can't chastise the world and take very good care of you. That's why we're to pray for kings and those that are in authority. If you don't like what the president's policies are, pray for him. Amen. I'm so glad somebody prayed for the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest persecutors of the church, because God got a hold on him. Can you say, man, he ran slam into God on the road to Damascus. Glory to God. And I'm glad God saved him instead of killed him, aren't you? We got 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament because God saved him instead of killed him. Hallelujah. We've got a man of God that stood true down through all those years. So Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. Set aside some time and pray for this nation. Pray for kings and those that are in authority. Pray for the President of the United States. Pray for the Mr. Obama. Regardless of your politics, pray for the man. Amen. Because that's how changes are going to come. Praise God. When people in those high offices run slam into God out there somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said he'd heal our land. Now, I don't think that's too big a job for God. I think he's big enough to do that. I think his grace is strong enough. His power is mighty enough. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for a revival in America. Lest the worst thing come upon us, that there be repentance in the church, and then that flow out into the world about us, and we see a mighty move of God right here in the United States of America. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And let's, as we pray for brothers and sisters that are hurting today, that need help today, the Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Not just the person you're praying for, but that the body may be healed. Can you say amen? This is, we all drank of that same spiritual cup. We all eat of that same bread. Communion is drawing us together at the foot of the cross. Amen. And its emphasis is on together. It said, when you do this, wait on one another. See, they had gotten, it was every man for himself. They brought their picnic lunches and their big bottles of wine. Amen. They got inebriated and gluttoned themselves at something that was supposed to be holy. And he said, you wait for one another. You wait till everybody's together. And then we begin to serve holy communion. It's not about me and mine or you and yours. It's about Jesus and Him crucified. And it's about recognizing that each other has a part to play in this great family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. One Sunday I'm going to minister to you, but some Sunday you're going to minister to me. It could happen. Amen. You believe God would listen to your prayer concerning me? I hope you do, and I hope you pray for me. Praise God, because God will help me, and He will bless you. The same night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had broken it, you may break the wafer if you will. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. you may eat the bread. Then he picked up the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do declare and proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We're proclaiming right here today to anyone who might witness this public declaration that we are saved today because Jesus died in our place upon the cross. And we're going to continue to proclaim this until he comes. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that we might become a functioning body. That we might become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just people in our various areas of this building. We may become one, even as you are one in the Father. The Father is in you. That we might be one in you, in that very same spiritual unity, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that we might have confidence in one another's prayers. That we might find consolation and comfort in one another's prayers. And know that when one of us prays, it's wonderful and powerful. When two of us in agreement pray, it multiplies that accessibility to the presence and power of God. For where two or more are gathered in His name, He said, I'm right there in the midst of them. I'm not sitting aloof in my heaven. I'm right there where they are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to quote that in context. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. For when two or more of you come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. He doesn't have to hear from heaven. He doesn't have to answer from heaven, because in that kind of circumstance, He said, I'm right here in the midst. Can you say amen? We lay our hands on someone who is sick. He puts His hand on them. Hallelujah. The healing doesn't come from our hand. The healing comes from His, because the Bible said the prayer of faith, we're laying hands on, but who raises them up? The Lord raises them up. Can you say amen? And God gets the glory. Hallelujah. He is faithful today. Hallelujah. Father, bless the nation of Israel who stands alone in a world full of enemies. The scripture said, when you see Israel compassed about with her enemies all around her, wanting her destruction, you know the desolation is nigh at hand. We're seeing prophecy come to pass today. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You have to get past yourself a little while to pray for someone so far away. But God will bless you if you will remember to pray for other people, and particularly His chosen people, Israel. Praise God. We are now chosen, called chosen and faithful. Amen. Along with them. But there is a place that God has put His hand upon, and it's the nation of Israel. And they stand alone, almost alone. We have commitments, but we're very, very weak in our commitments to our allies. And it's weakened us as a nation. It really, really has. We're having turmoil within and without right now. Father, help us to keep our commitments to our allies. Hallelujah. That you may keep your commitment to us in the name of Jesus. For he that blesses Israel, God will bless. And he that curses Israel, God will curse. Help us to sustain the blessing in the name of Jesus Christ today. Pray for kings and those that are in authority. Amen. Don't just complain. Pray. We've got enough complainers to last us till Jesus comes. But prayer is the only thing that will change anything or anyone. Can you say amen? Thursday, National Day of Prayer. It's been acknowledged that we should have prayer in this nation and praying people. Not the atheists and the agnostics and not the hypocrites in the church, but Christians. Amen. We will remember to pray. Hallelujah. And ask the Lord to move mightily in us and through us and in our nation and the nations of the world. Father, we just thank you today for this great truth that you've given us in your word. Bring us together. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to preach fast. Can you listen fast? I know you can because I always preach fast. Here's what Spurgeon said about the atonement. Let me read it to you. The presentation of the death of Christ as the substitute exhibits the love of the cross more richly, fully, gloriously, and glowingly than any other account of it. Luther saw this and gloried in it. He once wrote a friend, "Learn to know Christ and Him crucified. Learn to sing to Him and say, 'Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You became what you were not, so I might become what I was not.' What a glorious and wonderful exchange. Was there ever such love?" Can you say amen? Was there ever such love? That's what drove Martin Luther's ministry. That's what drove C.H. Spurgeon's ministry, the Prince of Preachers. You know what drove their ministry? They understood, appreciated, appropriated, and acknowledged in their own personal life, not just what they preached, but in their own personal walk with God, they acknowledged how important and wonderful and powerful the atoning death of Jesus was. They never got over it. They never lost the wonder of the cross. That's why Paul said, "I don't want to know anything among you," because it seems that ministry ceases to focus on the cross and looks for new ways to attract people, new ways to try to motivate them, new ways to try to get them in church, and hence we have the seeker-friendly movement. We really don't put the cross out in the forefront. We don't talk about sin and repentance and the price paid for sin so we could repent and be forgiven. We talk about your family. We talk about your job. We talk about your crazy kids. You say, "Brother Bimba, I don't have crazy kids." You're not a crazy kid. You're not even a kid anymore. So this is not about you today. Praise God. But you were a crazy kid at some point. I mean, kids will eat boogers. You just watch them sometimes. Amen? That's crazy. Somebody say that. Aren't you glad they grow out of that? You've never seen that? They'll eat them. They won't. Don't bother them. Used to be a birthday card. It shows a kid picking his nose and said, "I picked this one just for you." Amen. Inside the card. People crazy. So let's help your crazy kids. Let's have a skate park for them and some rap Christian stuff and let them just have fun at church. The issue is still sin, and the answer is still Jesus. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But we who understand and appreciate what the cross truly means, to us, it's entirely different. It is the power of God. Can you say amen? To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Because on that cross is where our sins were atoned for. That's where it occurred. That's where the substitutionary death of Jesus occurred. And it wasn't the cross, the wood. Someone at History Channel, they outdo themselves in being nutty. They don't get any kind of understanding of Scripture, of Christ, or of God from the Christian channel. I mean, from the History Channel. And for goodness sakes, don't listen to Oprah. because she doesn't know him and is not looking to know him. And she's got this wide worldview, and yet people look to her for spiritual leadership because of her station in life and her wise seeming remarks. Amen. But it's foolishness to the world. The wisdom of the cross is only known by those who have come to Christ because of the cross. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God for the atonement. First, the atoning sacrifice means that Jesus is perfect. Everybody say, Jesus is perfect.
Jesus is perfect.
Nobody else is. I'm not. You're not. Billy Graham isn't. Oral Roberts clearly wasn't. No one down through history was. These men that were such great preachers understood that without the cross and the grace that flowed from it because of Jesus, they couldn't be saved themselves. The mother of Jesus had to get saved. She wasn't immaculate. She was a sinner like all the rest of us. The reason God chose her wasn't her perfection. It was her faith. He chose her because of her faith. How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Oh, the Holy Ghost is going to take care of that. Well, be it unto me according to thy word. Can you say, man, if God's Spirit's going to do it, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to get it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But there came a day when Mary had to receive her son as her Savior. That's an incredible thing. They call her Mary, the Mother of God. She is not the Mother of God. She was host. Oh, no, God don't have a mama. God don't have a daddy. Can you say, man, she didn't bear God when she had Christ? Listen to me carefully. It's not a matter of semantics. This is a matter of truth and error. Bad error. She's not the mother of God. That implies that she somehow supersedes. That's why there was a movement within Catholicism not too many years ago. There was a petition with several hundred thousand signatures to make Mary, since the focus is on Mary instead of Jesus, co-redemptrix with Christ. And the Pope said, no! Mary can't save you! Thank God for a Pope that said, no! Mary can't save you! Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it's His blood that was shed that God accepted because it was perfect and sinless. No one is sinless but Christ. And that's why atonement had to occur because of a perfect sacrifice. A blood sacrifice that wasn't tainted, ever tainted. That's why He didn't have to go to hell and suffer demons tormenting Him, as some charismatics have bought into. He didn't need to do that. He couldn't do that. Because if He became a sinner and went to hell and was punished and had to be born again, He couldn't be God. He couldn't be God and be a sinner. Thank you for the hearty amens. That's heresy. Plain and simple. I'm not going to call it some kind of little mistake. It's not a little mistake. It's a big error. And it needs to be corrected. And the people preaching it need to receive correction. Because it is off base. You say, but Brother Venable, they've got revelation. No, honey, listen. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, let every word be confirmed. Can you say amen? Be careful of anybody that's getting extra biblical revelation. And people follow these people as if, you know, they know it all. Because look how many people are following them. Well, the Bible said it don't matter how many people follow a blind man. Amen. If the blind follow the blind, where does everybody end up? It don't matter if 10,000 people follow a blind man. When he goes in the ditch, guess what? 10,000 people are going to follow him right into the ditch. When he falls off the cliff, they're all coming right in behind him. So I don't want to follow blind men. I'm glad that somebody else is preaching what I'm preaching. Thank you for the hearty amen. I'm glad that somebody that's not Pentecostal is preaching what I'm preaching. I'm glad that when I preach the truth from the Bible, it's not a Pentecostal truth or a Baptist truth or Episcopalian truth or a Lutheran truth. It's God's truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And wherever God's people and God's preachers are, we can stand together and declare His truth. I'm glad I'm preaching what Whitfield preached and what Luther preached and what Spurgeon preached this morning. Hallelujah. I'm in good company when I'm kicked out of some circles. Hallelujah. Amen. Had an evangelist we used to let preach for us a whole bunch of times. He must have visited our website. He don't want me to preach for him anymore. He sent me an invitation to come and minister at his church and to a group of preachers in the city, but he don't want me no more. I'm feeling like Vance Havner. I'm not in his category as a preacher, but Vance Havner said, "I'm afraid I preach myself out of many pulpits." Can you say amen? They were afraid when he got there he would tell the truth. Amen. They really didn't want the truth. You'd be amazed how many people really don't want the truth. Sword of the Spirit cuts two ways. It don't just cut the devil. It cuts your flesh. And it cuts mine. Can you say amen? But if you'll continue in my word, John 8:30-31. If you continue in my word. Don't just follow the personality of the preacher, but the person that the word is presenting. Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed. You'll be the real deal. You won't just be a churchgoer. You'll be a follower of Jesus Christ. Vast difference in how many people show up in church and how many people go out and follow Jesus today. When they go out of the church. Can you say amen? But if you continue in my word, you will be my disciples indeed. Everybody say for real.
For real.
You won't be fronting anymore.
Amen.
Anybody know what fronting is? Amen. That's what hypocrites do. We're one thing in church. We don't just dress up ourselves our outside. We dress it up on the inside. How are you today? God is good. I've had them come with big crosses and big Bibles and big everything big. And I think, man, it's not what you do in here. You go out there and you break God's laws. You don't live according to the Word of God. You don't walk it out in your own life. And you want to preach to us. This pulpit is not open to you. You live it before you give it. Can you say amen? 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 You live it first. I require you live it first. Amen? Don't you require that I live it?
Amen.
I was with a woman last night, drunken, down in Ebo City, partying.
Here you are.
I started to say you wouldn't want to listen to me today, but I wouldn't even be here today. Pistol packing mama. Amen. That takes care of that. I don't want to be in Ebo City. I don't want to be partying with the world. I don't want to be there. I've been there. Some of you hadn't had enough of it. There used to be a song when the hippies got saved. Back when I first started preaching in the early 70s, there was a song that the hippies were singing, "Getting Saved, I've Had All the Sin I Can Hack, Jack." Can you say amen? Some people obviously haven't had all the sin they can hack. They haven't found out that living for Jesus isn't living in some kind of religious box. Can you say amen? It's getting set free. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, not just in your head or in your heart. You will know the truth experientially. You will find out He is the bread of life. You will find out that living water really will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Can you say amen? You'll know the truth. Hallelujah. That following Jesus is the greatest life in all of the world. That there's no peace without Him. No joy without Him. No fulfillment without Him.
Amen.
Woo! And the truth, experienced, will set you free. Can you say amen? And it'll keep you free. When I was bivocational for 12 years, and I worked a full-time job and a full-time pastorate, and I visited in the hospitals in the morning, went to work that evening, preached in this pulpit, tore off to work that afternoon. Hallelujah. Man asked me at work, didn't the Bible say in the lunchroom, about 100 people eating? He said, didn't the Bible say, Rev? I'm pouring my coffee. And didn't the Bible say the truth will make you free? I said, not exactly. Because just truth for the sake of truth, not understood and applied, can't set anybody free. I said, no, not exactly. Here's what the Bible said. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Then the truth will make you free. Praise God. Boy, it got quiet in there. Because we like to have these little snappity-doo-dah-day answers to our problems. I go to church, I highlighted that in my Bible. God gonna give me a car. Amen. That's what I went to church for, to get that car. I highlighted it where he said, ask and you shall receive. Lord have mercy. I'm going to get me a car. Can you say amen? He said, you ask and have not. What? You mean some prayers don't get answered? You ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on who? My name's Jimmy. I want all your gimme. Can you say amen? Some people come to church, like my wife said, to keep their foot in the door. They need God's help. They need some blessings from the Lord. But they don't want to follow Him. You've got to continue in His word. Hallelujah. And if you do, you will know the truth. You'll find out that by obeying the word, His blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. See, Deuteronomy 28 says, if you hearken, how? Diligently. That means with the intent to obey. It don't mean putting up with the preacher while looking at your watch. Can you say amen? If you have no intention of obeying, this is doing you no good. This is not going to help you at all today. Because when we walk out the door, His word won't have any place in your life. God will say, don't do it, and your flesh will say, go to it. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to go to it. And then when you get layered with guilt and get into all kinds of pending problems, then you'll be in church. Wanting what? God to plow under all that junk that you just planted. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be sure. Make no mistake about it. You can cover it, bury it. You can take a pig out of the hog pen and out of the mire and mud, and you can give him a shower. Preacher that I meet with, he said, I don't bathe my dog. He's got a big old pit bull. He said, I don't bathe him. He's too hard to pick up and put in the tub. He's like chocolate. How much chocolate weigh? About 80 pounds of pit bull and all muscle, man. If he don't want to get in the tub, I don't believe Brother Taylor can put him in there. I just don't believe that. But he said, I couldn't get him in the tub. He said, but I could get him to come in the shower with me. I tried to visualize that. This guy in the shower with a big old pit bull and him scrubbing himself and scrubbing the old dog. That's weird. Can you say, man? That's pretty weird to me. But you can take a pig, put him in the shower, shower him off, put baby powder on him. Then you can take Le Fleur Distinctum, some kind of good perfume. Can you say, man? Flowery stuff. And put, Le Fleur, that's French. You probably don't understand. Le Fleur Distinctum, can you say, man? French perfume. You can put expensive perfume, you know. Old spouse or, what is it? Number 5? Oh, yeah, channel number 5. I remember. smells a little like salt water, but sweeter. You can put it all over him. You can tie a pink ribbon around him. You know? But when you let him go, he's going back to the mud hole. Amen? And until you really get born again and decide to follow Jesus, when you walk out of here, I know where you're headed before you even get there. You say, Brother Bimble, you put a GPS on me? No, I didn't have to put a GPS on you. I know how this works. You know where you're going to head when you leave here? And you know where you're going to head Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? You're going right back to the mud hole. Amen. Because your nature hasn't been changed. But if it ever gets changed and you ever truly get saved, come on, something happens. A change has to occur. I said a change has to occur. A change has to occur. We used to sing it, I've been changed. I've been newborn now. My whole life has been rearranged. The Bible says it this way, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You'll still have the want to, but you'll have a will to serve God more than your want to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that will in your spirit to serve and please God will overcome the want to in your flesh. Amen. And that's called crucifying the flesh with the lust thereof. Walk in the Spirit. That means prompted by God's truth and what the Holy Spirit is revealing through the Word. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's victory in Jesus. You don't have to let sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. If any man be in Christ, not in church, in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Behold, I make all things new. The Bible said circumcision doesn't profit anything in the new covenant. Neither does uncircumcision. But one thing changes everything. A new creation. Can you say, man? That's why there's neither Jew nor Greek anymore. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female at the foot of the cross. But we become one in Jesus Christ. There ain't no black and white at the foot of the cross. There ain't no rich or poor at the foot of the cross. Ain't no big shot and little shot at the foot of the cross. Can you say, man? God has no stepchildren. We're all the sons of God. The daughters of God. Hallelujah. That's why the word atonement is so vitally important. Because at the cross is where Jesus atoned for our sin so that we could be saved. Saved is not just forgiving you, it's changing you within. It's called regeneration. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And you hath he quickened. Everybody say quickened. Quickened means given life. He's brought your conscience alive. You have a God consciousness now that you didn't have before. You could sin and sleep like a baby until you got saved. Now that you got saved, you can sin, but you won't sleep like a baby. Oh, you'll sleep like a baby, all right. If you're asleep for 3 hours, wake up and cry for two. Can you say amen? Amen? And if it don't bother you, I like what one Indian said in the early days when this particular minister went and preached to the American Indians. He said, how is it with you now that you've become a Christian? He said, before I was a Christian, I never thought about sin or its consequences. But he said, now, he said, it's like there's a wheel inside my bosom, inside my chest. And every time I sin, and it's sharp. It's got sharp barbs on it. And every time I sin, that wheel turns. And it makes my heart hurt until I repent. Can you say, man? It makes my heart hurt. Oh, I look at people coming to church on Sunday morning, and you think you need Tums. You think it's indigestion. You think you need a big old sip of Maalox. What you need to do is get really right with God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen, if I had a problem with guilt and my heart is being pricked, listen, that proves something. If your heart's being pricked when we talk about sin, it proves that you've been saved. It proves that something has really occurred in you. It proves that God has got a hold of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't unknow that knowledge. You cannot know it, but you can't ever come in contact with it and unknow it. No matter how deep in sin you go, you're going to know I'm out of my element. I'm called, hallelujah, to follow Christ. To be counterculture. To be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Hallelujah. And there's joy in that kind of relationship with God. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy comes when you're reconciled to God. That's the context of the scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8. Before Nixon, there was a Watergate. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 8 said, Ezra, the high priest, they have come back out of bondage. They're getting ready to rebuild their cities, and God's getting ready to restore their fortunes. I'm not just talking about the material, but their families and their heritage. Hallelujah. And at the Watergate, he built a pulpit of wood. The first mention of a pulpit is in Nehemiah chapter 8. And Nehemiah opened the book of law and he began to read from the morning till the afternoon. And they saw how far, as God's people, they had drifted from his truth and his commandments and his will. They saw themselves as covenant people without walking in that covenant with God, and their hearts were broken. And they began to weep. By the way, while he was bringing the word, the Bible said the rest of the priests walked among the people and gave them the sense of it. In other words, if you didn't understand what it said, they said, that's what it means. Amen. One thing is for sure, when everybody knew what it meant, they were all weeping. They had drifted away from God and they wanted to come back to God. And when he saw that in their heart, they didn't have to do penance. They didn't have to do, come on, they didn't have to do penance. They didn't have to do, come on, these are man-made things, not God-made things. When he saw their heart had begun to change toward him and they had the desire to serve him, he forgave them and began the restoration and restore their fortunes. Can you say amen? And when they were all cast down still, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. He says, hush. He knows you're sorry. Hallelujah. He said it's time to celebrate his forgiveness. His oh hallelujah. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. Go and give portions to those that don't have any. Make sure that everybody is part of this celebration in the nation of Israel, because your repentance has been received and your restoration has begun. Go! From that place of repentance, eat the fat and drink the sweet. This is the context of that scripture you hear. We think the joy of the Lord is when the Holy Ghost comes. Everybody's seen Dr. Pohl or one of these. Anybody know what a cattle prod is? It's a long stick like that. It's got electronic charge in it with a button. And if a cow won't get into the stall or into the truck, you hit him back there in the rear end, and he goes, wow! And there's some people thinking, they think the joy of the Lord is when they're so out of touch with being, well, there's not a lot of repentance among people that just want to shout on Sunday, because they never apply the word to themselves. And yet there needs to be. Amen? There needs to be. I'm not just talking about sins of commission, but sins of omission. Not just sins that are acted out, but sins in attitude. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Why? Why celebrate? What are we celebrating? Reconciliation with God and the restoration of his blessing upon that people and that nation. For the joy of the Lord, reconcile. Everybody say reconcile relationship. This is not about a liver shiver or the lack of it. This is knowing that you're standing with God. Hallelujah. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. We're lying to people. We're lying to ourselves. Can't lie to God because he knows better. If we say we have no sin, we lie. And you know how we lie? It's not just what we say. It's the fact that we don't repent. The altar's never for us. Never. The chair is not for us. Nowhere in the service does it apply to me. I was in a meeting, and I was sick with nervous exhaustion, and I needed a miracle. I wanted to do business with God. I didn't care what it took. I wanted to be in a place where people were doing business with God, and a preacher was preaching something that would challenge us to do business, get real, and get right with God. And there was at least 200 ministers in that meeting. They asked for a show of hands of the ministers. After the service was over, he asked the ministers, before anyone else in the building, except for salvation, but then the ministers, how many preachers have seen in your life need? And this was in one of those meetings about God's blessings and about prosperity, but it turned, it took a turn. Thank God for a man of God that would turn with it. Can you say amen? Because if you came there that day to see how you could preach in such a way to get a Bentley or a Rolex, you came to the wrong meeting, because God wanted repentance from his ministers. To lead the church in repentance, not just preach repentance to the church. Most of them are not even preaching it to the church, let alone practicing it themselves. And when I watched 200 ministers begin to come forward, and they didn't stand there, there was such a move of God in that place. I began to get on my knees, and I looked around, and the rest of them were on their face. And I thought, knees aren't good enough. I'm going to lay on my face before Almighty God and say, Lord, cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Come on. Create in me. In me. In me. In me. When is it your turn? Do you ever get a turn? Have you been in church for years and you don't get a turn to repent? You're above sin. You're lying. You're lying. We say we have no sin, we lie. Well, if we got sin, what are we supposed to do about it? Repent of it. And you don't have to lay in the floor necessarily, but in your heart, in these services, there is no one in this room that's above repentance. I don't care if you just prophesied, just spoke in tongues, just got a revelation. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. And here's the, we can pray. It's not just about praying. It's qualifying to get an answer. Amen. He said, you got to turn from your wicked way. Amen. Don't just pray for wicked America. Pray for the wickedness in our own heart. Amen. When does your turn come? When do you repent? Amen? Because if you never repent, you know what you're saying? I have no sin. If you have no sin, what are you? According to the Word of God. I didn't say it. God said it. You're a liar. I'm a liar. Billy Graham will never say that. But there are preachers who will never repent, because they're afraid they will lose face, when in fact what they're doing is being an example to the flock. That's why David was such a wonderful king in Israel. When he failed, he admitted it. He got down before God. He repented of his sin. And Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Can you say, man, doesn't start with them or him or her. It starts with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray kokolobo and restore unto me, what? The joy of thy salvation. Not as it's used in the New Covenant. That word in the Old Testament meant God's deliverance. When David prayed and God came through. Can you say, man? I said, when David prayed and God came through. Restore to me the joy of what? Answered prayer. Hallelujah. If we're going to pray, we got to pray. Not just pray, we got to be in a position to get an answer from God. Amen. Turn from your wicked ways. Then will I, then and only then, it's not just a faith issue, it's a heart issue. Then I'll hear from heaven. We know he hears us. We know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Faith expands and explodes when you know you're right with God. Because when you know you're right with God, you know you have his heart and his ear. Hallelujah. David said, I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer. Turning his ear. Turning his ear. Turning his ear always to me. Can you say, man, when I pray, God listens. If we know he hears us, we know we have the petition that we've desired of him. Can you, what a relationship with God when David got right with him. Now listen to Psalm 32. We'll finish Psalm 51 and we'll try to close this service. Listen. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Wash me with hyssop. It starts out with getting a good cleansing. Getting clean. You know what this is? You know what? The Word of God is meant to scrub us. Hyssop. Hyssop. Hyssop is a plant that they use to scrub things with. It's also a plant they use to apply the blood with on the doorpost. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then, after he set the example, then, after they saw it working in the king himself, hallelujah, then sinners shall be converted unto thee. And transgressors will learn thy ways. When I get right with God, it's going to touch somebody else. When I live right with God, it's going to affect somebody else. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear. And how's he going to heal the land? Through the lives of Christians who are not lackadaisical, lackadocious, lukewarm. But people who are living for God day in and day out on the job and off the job and in the home and out of the home. Hallelujah. Your life is going to begin to sow seed into somebody else. If one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 We just teach preachers to preach. We don't necessarily teach them to pray. And we don't have any course in any Bible college I know of. And I know one man that's got his bachelor's degree and another's got a PhD getting ready to stand in Dallas from Dallas Theological Seminary. But there's not a course in Dallas Theological Seminary about living for God and having personal accountability. It's all about theology. The theology is correct, but it's the man, it's the woman that needs the touch from God in their life. It's not my brother, my sister, Brother Taylor. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah. And why is there so little repentance? Because somehow or another we're saying, you know what you say? You know what you're saying through that attitude? I have no sin. He's got it. He's got it. She's probably got it, but not me. That's why there's double doors, so we can get our wings through without folding them too tight. Can you say, man? Yeah, it's not about fire or anything like that, fire and codes. It's so all the Christians on Sunday can squeeze our wings in and get through. No, it's not. No, no. We need God. We need to be real with God. We need to be right with God. There's nothing wrong. Oh, some of you got it. Some of you are going to get it if you hang out here long enough. There's nothing wrong. You'd think there was, because when we preach it, a lot of people say it's going to run people off. Only the people that don't love him. Only the people that don't want to serve him. But the people that love him and want to serve him are not offended by getting right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, say it.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Say it loud.
Amen. Amen.
Say it proud.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Woo! 200 pastors, 200 evangelists, 200 preachers on their face. God must love it. And all those people in that 10,000 seat arena must have been blown away to see the clergy leading the repentance instead of preaching repentance, practicing repentance. Amen? So at some point in the services here, whether you get down on your face, get at an altar, or just bow in your heart, there's a time when God's not speaking to everybody else alone. So God, when God's speaking to you, to you, to you. And that's a good thing when that wheel spins, because we've been changed and now the conscience has been awakened to God. Not only can we conceive Him and perceive of Him, but we feel the pain when we know that we're not pleasing Him. We feel it and we do what? If any man say he has no sin, he lies and does not the truth. But if he confess his sin, hallelujah, God is faithful and justified to forgive his sin and to do what? Just say, have that old sinner still caught in that web, that vicious circle of sin and death? No, and cleanse him from all unrighteousness and iniquity. God says, not only do I forgive you, amen. See, sin is the transgression of the law. That's what you did. Iniquity is what is wrong on the inside that caused that activity. And God said, if I don't go deeper than just forgiving the sin, you're just going to go out and sin again. And come back and repent again. And go out and sin again. And come back and repent again. And go out and sin again. And come back and repent again. That's not revival. That's not victory. Let not sin what? Reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. We need to get rid of. I preached a revival in Merritt Island. I must close. Just think, if I wasn't closing, we'd have to bring our lunch and get easy chairs for everybody. I thought about just getting easy chairs, but then you'd go to sleep and you wouldn't hear me anyway. So we don't want it too comfortable in here. But get this. Listen to me carefully, particularly you young people that think church is just, you know, it's not life. It's just church. And for many Christians, that's all it is. But make no mistake about it, God has called you to follow Him. Hallelujah. Be ye followers of God as dear children. I preached with a man that worked with the subway department, Chicago, Illinois. He retired as one of those subway policemen, hired particularly for that. And he talked about in his neighborhood, there was a ghetto mentality. Now, the ghetto mentality is not just in poor neighborhoods with a lot of crime. It's in churches without victory. Amen. Where sin is accommodated and not eradicated. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? It's the same mentality, and I want you to get this. And he used the illustration. He said, people have to come to Christ and get set free. They have to understand He came to set them free, not just forgive them and leave them in a prison, but to set them free so they can serve Him and follow Him. But He said, we've got to get rid of the ghetto mentality. And He said, this is a true story that he knew of personally. One of these by the roads in a rural area, little zoos, barely fed the animals enough, the cages are dirty. There was an old lion. He had been there for years. All he knew his whole life was captivity. He was in a cage where all he did other than sleep and eat was walk 8 steps one way. And he knew he didn't even have to look anymore. He knew 8 steps and you're done. The bars are right there. You can't go no further. And year after year, he paced. He either slept or paced.
8 steps, turn. 8 steps, turn. 8 steps, turn. The zoo went broke. The person didn't want to see him killed. So he contacted one of these big places. I think there's one in South Florida where the animals are not in cages. They're in a big fenced-in acreage where they roam free around that acreage. They're not in those little circus cages. They loaded that lion up in a truck. They took him to this reserve where lions were just roaming freely. I mean, you know, they had the run of the place. And here's this lion that's never known freedom in his life. But in his mind, he doesn't know what freedom is. He doesn't know what freedom is. So they had to prod him to get him out of the truck. Because there's kind of a safety in that cage. You're in prison, but, you know, you get fed. You don't have nothing to fear. And they prodded him out of the truck, and he hit the ground. He looked around, and there's no bars. But you see, in his mind, he was still captive. All those years, he saw himself as a prisoner of that cage. And when the cage was gone, he still saw himself as a prisoner of that cage. And you know what he did for the first half hour? 6, 7, 8. There's no bars. But he turned. 6, 7, 8. Turn. For 30 minutes in total freedom, he paced 8 steps and back, because it hadn't hit his mind yet that he was free. That's why when you get saved, I beseech you by the mercies of God, after you get saved, see, your mind needs to get renewed. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God is to help it to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Because of what Christ did for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says that you be renewed. That you be no more conformed to this world. That word conformed means pressed into its mold. Let in the culture and your friends that you haven't decided to follow Jesus above them. Let them push you into the world's mold. The sin is aggressive. The world is aggressive. And it'll try to push you into the mold of the world. But God is calling you to freedom. Real freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or in the Greek, your true spiritual worship. It's not just singing with the choir. Amen. It's living a life of dedication to the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Your true spiritual worship is not what you do in church. It's what you do out there. And in your home and in your life. Hallelujah. That's where the truth is. Anybody can dress up and sing with the choir on Sunday. But there's 6 more days interacting with this world. And God wants us to follow Him, not them. Present your body to the Lord a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your true spiritual worship. And be no more conformed to this world, pushed into its mold, but be ye transformed by what? Everybody got one point at it. I know you're hungry, but don't point at your stomach. Your mind is up here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got one point at it, try it one time. Golly. Boy, we got some smart people in here. Most people are going, no, it's here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you might prove. That means exemplify. That what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You've been renewed in your spirit. Regenerated in your spirit, now be renewed in the spirit of your mind. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth experientially and in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And the truth will make you free. Something happened in that old lion's head. Something happened. After 30 minutes of hitting that wall that wasn't even there anymore, he suddenly looked up and saw the other lions looking at him like, what is wrong with you? You're not in a cage, son. Come on. Come on. You're not in a cage anymore. Hallelujah. Get that ghetto mindset out. You don't have to live that way anymore. Can you say amen? Whom the Son sets free is really free. They looked at him and he looked at them and they looked at him and he looked at them and he thought, I don't know what they're looking at. Then he realized it hit him. Somewhere it hit him. And I pray some people that it hits you one of these days. That you don't have to serve sin, self, or Satan any longer. You can serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You've been set free to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that man that preached that message, he said that no one had ever seen a lion with arthritis and rheumatism, old, and lost most of his teeth. They didn't know that he could frolic. They didn't know that he could play. They didn't even know that he could run, because he didn't know that he could frolic, play, and run. Hallelujah. But when it hit him, I am really free. This is for real. Glory to God. He took off. He run. He jumped. He laid on his back like a dog and did that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And jumped up and run some more. Hallelujah. And he said, I don't know if animals can smile or not, but he said, every day when I saw that lion walking around anywhere he wanted to go, doing anything he wanted to do, amen, he said that old toothless lion was grinning. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, because there's freedom, there's reconciliation, and there's restoration when true repentance occurs. And when you get renewed in the spirit of your mind, you don't have to go back to the hog pen. Can you say, man, you don't have to wallow in the mire? Boy, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved this morning. I'm telling you, I'd get saved this morning. Because saved is better than lost. And free is better than bound. And following Jesus is better than serving Satan and sin. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? Praise God. Brother, would you just, we're going to try, you're the brother. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus if we can get this to play, and there's victory in Jesus if we can't get it to play. How many are glad you came to church today? How many are glad you wasn't sick and in a hospital today? That you made it. Praise God. How many want to continue in the Word so that you and I can be renewed in the spirit of our mind? Can you say amen? You know what you begin to find out? You begin to find out who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Can you say amen? And there's such freedom. There's such liberty. There's such blessing. There's such healing. There's such help. There's such deliverance in Jesus Christ today. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you probably have to hit that little booger right there. And if you can't, we'll do something else. God is so good today. That's okay. That's all right. We've got a backup. We've got a backup. Glory to God. It's the very same song. Let's see if it'll play. If it doesn't, we'll close in prayer. How many glad you came to church? How many'd rather be here than jail? Amen. That man, I'm so glad God saved that man right there.
because he'd probably be in jail this morning. Man run into police cars with his car. Instead of them, it was the reverse of cops. Amen. Pop just got out. There he is right back in. But God got him out and kept him out. God got him out and cleaned him up. And he didn't go back to the hog pit. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. We're going to just sing this again. We're going to sing it again before we leave. Hallelujah. The words are going to come out. Don't lose the wonder. Don't lose the glory. Don't lose the first love. When you were so excited about Jesus, nothing could keep you out of church. You wanted more church than just Sunday. You hated to see the preacher quit preaching because you were soaking it in like SpongeBob and Sponge Janice and Sponge James. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Thank you for the atoning death. Without it, there's no redemption. There's no justification. There's no salvation. There's no sanctification. There's no justification. But because of it, all of these redemptive words are realities in our life. Hallelujah. You know the chorus, let me never lose the wonder of what we just celebrated, the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. See it like the first time, standing as a sinner lost. Let me never lose the wonder. The wonder of the cross. Hallelujah. The cross. Jesus. Keep the first love burning. Keep the desire to serve you. And when we miss it, give us enough integrity and honesty to repent. To be forgiven. To be cleansed. To be restored. In Jesus' name. Those nails of wood. History was split in two. History was split in two. Yes, it was.
Behold the empty wooden tree. His body gone, alive and free. His spirit everlasting joy.
Sin and death have been destroyed. Hallelujah. Sing it, church. Sing it to the Lord. Wonder of the cross.
Give him a wave offering if you love him today.
How many want to continue in his word? Hallelujah. How many want the freedom that it brings to serve him? Hallelujah.
Jesus. Under my mercy and grace.
wife that I know, he's a preacher and a pastor. She said, honey, you're preaching better than you ever have. That means with experience, it's easier. You get better at delivery of the message. But she said, you're losing your passion for the Lord. And he began to go to church and wait by the altar. And he said to me, he said, Brother Villa, my heart melted and I just wept before God. And then I just worshiped God. And I thought, boy, that church is in for something if they'll follow what the Lord is leading him to do. Can you say amen? Every time we have communion, it's to focus on the one who died to set us free and to live in that freedom so that he did not die in vain. When Lincoln's body was brought from Washington to Illinois, it passed through Albany and it was carried through the street. They say a black woman stood upon the curb and lifted her little son as far as she could reach above the heads of the crowd and was heard to say to him, and I quote, take a long look, honey. He died so you could live free. Take a long look. He died so you could live. It's been a long journey for you people of color in here since the Emancipation Proclamation. Amen. It's been a long journey and we're still on it, aren't we? To achieve that it was meant to achieve. But I want you to know something. It came with great price and great cost. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, we're still on a journey to walk in the glorious liberty of the sons of God as Christians. And I just want in these services that we raise our eyes, hallelujah, and look at the one who died to set us free and to live in that freedom. Praise God. Amen. And to get renewed in our mind. Hallelujah. And to find that the joy of the Lord is our strength, Brother Taylor. And we need it today like we've never needed it. Glory to God. How many will pray for us as we take a break after 10 years of not going anywhere, doing anything except going to see her sick daddy? And that was not fun. It was good, but it wasn't fun. Amen. Hallelujah.